Everybody, it's nice to see. It's nice to see so many people tonight, and it's too bad we can't meet together in one room. But this is better than nothing, that's for sure. So it's good to see everybody's faces there tonight. I was just thinking when Dave was praying, I was thinking that we're here to open up the Bible tonight, and it occurred to me that things are in a lot of confusion right now in this world. I think we all realize that. And it's a nice thing that we have the absolute truth holding it in our hands. And that as things get more confused and difficult, we have an anchor that we can hold on to. We have instruction in the word, and particularly in this book of Proverbs, we have real blessing. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. I was given two passages, Proverbs 8 from 32 to 36 and James 3 from 13 to verse 18. So we'll be looking at those verses a little later. I wanted to turn to a couple of other places first, if that's okay. And before we turn anywhere, I'd just like to mention something. I'd like to tell you a little story. I don't usually like to talk about myself or anything like that or relate to personal experiences, but this book of Proverbs is a very special book to me personally, because it's been used very much by God in his grace towards me in blessing me over the years for many, many years. And I read it every day, and I find that I get great blessing for it. My story, some of you probably know this, maybe not everybody, but my story is that of the prodigal son in Luke's gospel. I think it's chapter 15. But that's my story. And without getting into all the details, which wouldn't really be profitable anyway, I'll just tell you that I got to a point, and I was making quite a mess of things in my life. I was young, about 21 years old. And I realized that if I didn't make some changes, it was going to be shipwreck. So it was at that time that God in his grace stooped down, and I had been saved at a very young age, but there came a point in my life where I wanted to have a good time. I wanted to go out and enjoy the world, just like that boy in his father's house. He wanted to go into a far country and enjoy himself, and that's pretty much what I did. Anyway, it wasn't going too good. So by God's grace, I finally came to myself like that young man. And somebody had given me a Bible before I left home. I was actually in the Navy at that time. So I had the Bible in my locker, but I never really looked at it very much. But at this point, I knew enough that to find wisdom, you'd find it in the book of Proverbs. So that's what I did. I took out that Bible and I opened it up and I started to read. And those verses, it was one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had in my life. It was like those verses were jumping right off the page at me and grabbing hold of me and saying, "Randy, this is for you." It was a very personal thing. And ever since then, I've realized that this book we hold in our hands tonight is not just a book. It is, as John Anderson often encourages us and tells us, that this is the living, powerful Word of God. And it is. It is. And so I would encourage you, I don't know that there's any young people here tonight. Perhaps there's none. I don't know. But if there are, I would encourage you to spend time reading the Proverbs. It's an excellent book for guidance for young men and young women. It's called sometimes the heavenly wisdom for an earthly pathway. And I found out that that's true. And tonight we're talking a little bit about the rewards of wisdom. And there are certainly many, many rewards to wisdom. So to begin with, I'd like to turn to a verse in Genesis chapter 15, if you would. Okay, Genesis chapter 15 And it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and your exceeding great reward. So the first thing I want to note, and if you don't remember anything I say tonight, at least take home this much with you. And that is, the greatest reward of wisdom is the Lord himself. God said to Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward, not just a great reward, but an exceeding great reward. And if we walk in wisdom's ways, that's the one thing we get, God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in the chapter that we're going to look at, in chapter 8 of Proverbs, the Lord Jesus is there as the personification of wisdom. And so the greatest treasure, the greatest reward that wisdom gives is the Lord himself. Or I might say the greatest reward of wisdom is wisdom itself, because the Lord Jesus is made unto us wisdom. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for a verse. I'm going to turn to a few scriptures at the beginning. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 30. It goes through a few verses before, and it explains what kind of material, what kind of people God picks up and uses. He uses the weak and the foolish, the despised. That's the kind of material God picks up and uses. And I found that such a blessing, because I can fit myself into those categories, all of them, the foolish, the weak, the despised. And God picks up people like that. Maybe some of you can relate to that as well. But in verse 30, it says, but of him that is of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? So there we have the Lord Jesus himself is wisdom. And again, in the 8th chapter of Proverbs, you'll see it's the Lord is the personification of wisdom. So there again, he is our greatest reward of wisdom. And then in Colossians chapter 2, you can just turn there for a minute. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, just the end of verse 4, the last word, Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So are there treasures to wisdom? Are there rewards? Many, many treasures to wisdom, many rewards. And I'd like to kind of digress a little bit here for a subject that is very important to me, and I hope that it will be for you too. Quickly turn to Ezra chapter 6 with me. This is a little bit of an aside from our scriptures, but Ezra chapter 6. Ezra chapter 6 in the first verse. And this is a letter, and it's from the king Darius. And it says, then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls, or in my margin it says the house of the books, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And I was very encouraged by that verse, because most of us here tonight, I look around at everyone, and I realize that most of us here have a background of being brought up and taught in a brethren assembly. And I think most of us would agree that that's been a real blessing too. And the reason I mention this about the books is because, brethren, we have a great heritage that's been handed down to us over the years from a generation that was raised up back in the 1800s, 150, almost 200 years ago. And we have a wealth, a real treasure house, a gold mine of wisdom and good ministry that's been handed down to us. The trouble is, We haven't read it. We haven't taken advantage of it. And that's a sad thing, because there it is for us. I've seen people with shelves full of some pretty wonderful books, but I know that the books never get taken down and read. And most of the books now that were handed down to us are out of print. You can't even get them anymore. You can get some of them, but most are out of print and you can't get them anymore. But I would like to tell you, and I hope I'm not upsetting anybody, but I would like to tell you there is a website, and it's called stempublishing.com, S-T-E-M publishing.com. And if you go there, you can get most of the early writings of the brethren. And I would like to say to you, there is a wealth of treasure in those books. There are books written today that are very helpful. I'm not trying to say that there aren't. There are. And that's good. We spend time reading them. But I would encourage you to go back and to take the time to read that ministry that it was handed down to us, brethren. I think that's one of the problems why we find ourselves so weak today, because we haven't availed ourselves of the treasure that's in the books. And of course, the most important book of all is the one we're holding in our hands tonight. And there's nothing that takes the place of sitting down with the Word of God yourself and having the Spirit of God take the Word of God and make it good to your soul. You know, there's real comfort in the Word of God too. It says that in Romans. We through comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And I hope that many of you have had the same experiences as I've had. You come home from work and it's been a rough day. You've had a lot of problems. You're feeling a little bit agitated. And you sit down and you pick up your Bible and you just sit there and read it. You don't study it. You just simply read it. And after reading it for an hour or so, you get up and you wonder what the problem was, what was bothering you so much. There's real power in this book. That's what it says in Hebrews. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And so there's real power and comfort in this book that we have before us. So I would encourage you as well to spend a lot of time in the Scriptures. All right, let's go over to our chapter that was the portions that were given me to speak about tonight. And the first one is Proverbs chapter 8, and it goes from verse 32 to verse 36. So Proverbs chapter 8, and I'll read from verse 32 on. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. And so we see here that there are indeed some very important rewards by walking in wisdom's ways. And just to go back a little bit in the chapter, I want you to notice, because I mentioned this before, that the Lord Jesus himself is the personification of wisdom. So listen to this, to these verses. Verse 23. Speaking of wisdom, it says, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. When as yet he, that is God, had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the world, Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. So you can see from those scriptures that the Lord Jesus was the one that was with the Father from all eternity. The Lord Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He was with God from always, always. And so, as I said before, he is the personification of wisdom. He is made unto us wisdom. That's the verses I read. But if we look at these verses from 32 on, it says, "Hearken to me, O children, for blessed are they that keep my ways." So one of the rewards of wisdom is simply blessing. And you can put down there any blessing you can think of. You can think of a Christian home brought up. Some of us were brought up in Christian homes, and we know the stability and the blessing of being brought up in a Christian home. So there's one blessing from wisdom's ways. And there are many. Do you have a job? Do you have a good job? Well, probably you got there because you were walking in wisdom's ways and you made good decisions. I told you about myself when I was a young man, I made some very bad decisions. But if you've made good decisions guided by what's here in this book, then you probably do have a good job. Maybe you have a family and everything else that goes along with it. All the blessings you can think of come from walking in wisdom's ways. And so the next verse here, verse 33, it says, "Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not." And if you're going to enjoy the blessings, the rewards of wisdom, this is the first thing I think we have to learn, and that is to listen, to hear. Hear instruction. And sometimes I do a lot of talking, and I realize that maybe I should be doing a little more listening. And that's one of the keys to wisdom, and that is to listen. You remember the story of Solomon. I think Jonathan Thomas brought it up when he spoke to us a couple of weeks ago. I think it was him that talked about Solomon. And there was that episode when those two women came to Solomon, and they each had a baby, an infant, and one of them had turned over on her infant during the night and smothered it, and it had died. So these two women, they came to Solomon, and they were arguing about the child that was left, still alive. And one said, "It's my child." And the other one said, "No, it's my child." And what did Solomon do? He didn't do a thing until he listened to both sides of the story. He listened to one woman and then the other. In other words, he heard. He listened before he acted and before he spoke. And we all know the result, I think, of that. After he heard everything, he said, "Bring me a sword and I'm going to divide the child in two." And what happened? Well, the woman whose child it was, she said, "No, no, give it to the other woman," because she loved the child and she didn't want anything to happen to it. There was proof that this was the mother, and Solomon said, "Give her the child. She's the mother." And so, you know, Solomon was given special wisdom of God. He wrote these Proverbs, most of them. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He was a wise man. But one thing he found out, and it's the same thing I found out when I was 21 and thereafter, I found out that everything under the sun in this world is nothing but vanity and vexation of spirit. There's nothing in it for your soul. But here in this book, the Bible, we have the wisdom of God. So the first thing you need to hear, you need to listen. Verse 34, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." Now here's good advice. Do I sit daily at the gates? Do we daily pick up the word of God or some good ministry and spend time with it? That's necessary, you know. God never gives us grace for tomorrow, today. He gives us grace for one day at a time. We know those scriptures that boast not yourself of tomorrow. You know not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. God does. And he gives us grace for one day at a time. Don't borrow from tomorrow. Take one day at a time, but every day spend time reading your Bible, and not only reading it. Joshua was told not only to read the law, but he was told to meditate in it day and night. So what happens when you finish reading? Do you get up and go watch the hockey game? Or do you go for a walk and think about the things you've read? I want to encourage everyone here tonight, myself included, to take the time to meditate. Not just read your Bible, but think about it and let the Spirit of God open it up to you and give wisdom to your soul. The next verse says, "Whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Well, there's a blessing that is quite wonderful. Favor from the Lord. I found probably the most greatest blessing in my life is to go for a walk with God and listen to him. There's a verse in Psalms 37. Not sure what verse it is, but it's in Psalm 37, and it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." And in the margin, it says, "Be silent to the Lord and wait patiently for him." And so when you go for a walk with God, do you listen? When you're down on your knees praying, are you just talking or are you listening? Because communion goes both ways. This way towards God and from him to you. So sometimes it's good just to be on your knees before God and just be silent and listen for that still small voice. And you will hear it. God loves to have communion with us. That's the thing that broke his heart in the very beginning when Adam sinned. The Lord came into the garden in the evening and he wanted to commune with Adam. And he said, "Where are you, Adam?" And when I was young, I used to think, well, God was looking for him because he was going to punish him. He knew what he'd done. But that's not the thought. That's not the sense there. God's heart was broken because Adam had broken that link between him and the Lord. Adam had spoiled the communion that the Lord wanted to have with Adam. And so he said, "Where are you, Adam?" It was really the call of a broken heart. And God desires to have communion with you and with me. And so we can enjoy the favor of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to walk with God and to enjoy communion with him every day. And he's willing and desirous that you and I should have that communion with him. Well, the next verse leads us into the few verses we have in James. This verse says, "But he that sinneth against me," that is against wisdom, "wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." We know that verse in Romans, and it says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Well, similarly, in this last verse, "He that sinneth against me wrongs his own soul." There are wages, there are rewards, if I can use that word. It doesn't sound very, very practical when you speak about wrongdoing, but there are rewards for foolishness too. They're not good rewards. Just like the wages of sin, they're not good wages. They're the wages, they're death. And so when we walk in the ways of foolishness, without God in our lives, without taking instruction from his word, which he's given to us, then there is, we wrong our own soul, and all they that hate me love death. So there are these rewards, so to speak, of not walking in wisdom. Now let's turn over to that portion in James chapter 3. Okay, James chapter 3, and I'll read from verse 13 to the end. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." And so you see in this little portion here, we have two different types of wisdom. We have the wisdom that comes from above, and we've been speaking a little bit about that. We hardly touched on it, but the blessings of wisdom are great and many. But here we have another kind of wisdom, and it's worldly wisdom. And I'm sure we've all experienced that in some way or another. Everyone has an idea today. Everyone has a thought on what the best way to proceed is. And you can listen to all kinds of people, and you probably won't get one story, one piece of advice that is the same. But a lot of that advice, if it's not grounded in the Word of God, is not good advice. It's not the wisdom that gives blessings. It's the wisdom that gives you trials and difficulties. And so it says, this wisdom, maybe I'll start at verse 14. "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." If we don't take heed to the Word of God, there's another one that's going to outwit us every time, and that's the devil. And he has lots of advice for us. Maybe a friend of yours will give you that advice. Maybe someone you see on television will give you that advice. Maybe, a politician will give you some advice. But very often that kind of advice, that worldly advice, leads to envying, strife, and confusion, and every evil work. I know that none of us want to live a life of confusion. We want to live a life of happiness, a life of blessing, a life of fruitfulness, a life of helping one another. That's what we want in our lives. We don't want bitter envying and strife among us, and we certainly don't want confusion. And so I just want to warn you that there is another kind of wisdom. But then it says the wisdom that is from above is first pure. There's seven things there, and I'm not going to go into them. It's worthwhile taking time and looking at that verse, verse 17, and thinking about each one of those things, the blessings from wisdom, and spend a little time meditating on them. And I think you'll find it well worthwhile. Now, it's 8 o'clock, so I'm not going to go on any longer. I just wanted to turn to one more verse, and it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes comes right after. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. The man who wrote this book, Solomon, is the same one who wrote most of the Proverbs and also the Song of Solomon. And so, God gave him special wisdom. Other than the Lord himself, he was the wisest man that ever lived. But, even the wisest man that ever lived, he failed terribly at the end of his life. He made some wonderful, wise decisions. He said some very wise proverbs. But at the end of his life, his wives turned his heart away from the Lord, and he turned to idols. Now, one of the things that kings of Israel were warned about was not to multiply horses and not to multiply wives. Well, poor Solomon, he failed in that. And it was the cause of him failing late in his life, because it says his wives turned his heart away from the Lord. And so that's a warning to us, that even though we have this book, the Word of God, even though we have brothers and sisters who can instruct us, even though we have ministry written in books from the past that is there to guide us and direct us and give us instruction, we can still fail if we don't walk closely with God. Okay, there is no what's the word I'm looking for? There is no replacement for communion, is what I'm trying to say. You need to walk with God every day. Read his word, but walk with him in communion with him. And the only way you can have communion with God is by walking in obedience to his word. You walk in disobedience, you won't enjoy the communion of God. So read the word of God, meditate upon it, and then walk in it. Ezra, he did that. It says in Ezra, I'm not sure which chapter it is, but he first of all, he made himself familiar with the word of God, and then he walked in it, and then he taught it. So if we're going to be a help to others, we need to walk in the truth, in wisdom's ways ourselves. But this verse from Ecclesiastes, I'll just close with it. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 13. And Solomon says, "Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness." And that's the difference between walking in wisdom's ways and walking in the ways of folly. It's just like light and darkness. If you walked into a pitch black room and it was full of tables and chairs, you're going to bump into, and you had to get to the other side and out a door on the other side, you'd be bumping into everything. And I might get you through that room in two ways. I might say, well, I've been through that room, so I know where all the tables and chairs are. So what you do is you take a step forward, and then you take two steps to the left, and then you take three steps forward and one step to the right. And I might be able to guide you through that room without getting banged up too badly. But I'm sure you'll probably have a couple of mishaps. But it would be far easier if I just reached in the door and on the wall and turned on the light for you. And then you would see all the tables and chairs and you could walk through that room with ease. Well, that's what the word of God is like. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And the word of God will take you through this world and keep you from bumping into all the obstacles and getting yourself into trouble. I like that word in the 119th Psalm. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's a lamp to your feet. That is for one step at a time. But you've got to take that first step. You know, you say, well, how far does your car headlights light up in front of you? And I might say, well, I'll just take a guess, 100 feet. And if I tell you, well, I can only go 100 feet because my car only lights up 100 feet in front of me, what would you say? Well, you say, just keep on going and you'll get light for every step of the way. You'll get light for the continuous trip. And that's the way it is with God. God gives us grace and light for one step at a time or one day at a time. But if you don't take that step of faith, you're not going to have life light for the next step. So you have to take that step of faith. That's why Abraham was a man after God's own heart. He was called the friend of God because he was a man of faith. It says about him in Hebrews, it said he left his land of his fathers, and it says he went out not knowing where he was going. God told him to leave his family, but he didn't explain all the details to him. But Abraham listened and he obeyed. And what was the blessing? Well, Abraham is the father of faith, the father of many nations. And he was the friend of God. And if you want to be a friend of God, if you want to enjoy that in that communion, you've got to walk in the light. And so this verse tells you that wisdom excels folly, just like light excels darkness. So I just want to encourage you with those few words to take the time to read the Proverbs every day, just even if it's only a couple of Proverbs. And then when you go to work or you go about your day, take those one or two Proverbs that you read and think about them. Just apply them to your life and roll them around in your head. Talk to the Lord about them. Enjoy that communion with God, because he loves, by his Spirit, he loves to open up his word to you. Every single verse, he loves to open it up to you and teach you, and he will teach you. The Spirit of God is the great teacher, and he will teach you if you give him a chance to. So take the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, spend time with it, meditate upon it, and then walk in the good of it and walk with God every step.